You know, someone told me that Bob was a real wit. And I think they're about half right. You can only joke like that with someone that they know you love them and they let you get by with it. Bob's been spending 19 years trying to straighten out the mess I made in 5. And apparently he's done a good job. Isn't it great to have reunions? Isn't it great to have special days? The Bible has a lot of special days. The 3 yearly feasts, of course, every Sabbath day. But the year of Jubilee, every 50 years, they would have a great year-long celebration. And of course, in Nehemiah chapter 8, there was a celebration I want to tell you about. However, before I do, I've met so many people, and I had to look at the name tag to remember. And then these young ladies have married and had some children, and they don't look the same. But neither do I. However, I do remember them, and I've so far remembered everybody that I should have. But I want you to know that no matter what age I am, my memory's as good as ever. I'm serious. I cannot remember one thing I've ever forgotten. In Nehemiah, it talks about a special day. Don't you love special days? One day a couple were sitting at the breakfast table and he was drinking his coffee, reading the morning paper before he left for work. His wife said all of a sudden, "Do you know what today is?" Panic. And so he covered up and said, "Well, of course I do." And he folded up the paper and took off. On the way to work, he thought, "What is it? What special day is this?" So about mid-morning, he had a box of candy delivered to the house. And then he thought it may be bigger than that. So he sent a dozen roses. On the way home, he thought this may really be a biggie. So he stopped by the jewelry store and bought that diamond bracelet she'd been admiring. It was expensive, but he knew it'd be worth it. He walked in the door and handed her that bracelet. She opened it up and grabbed him, hugged him, said, "I've never had such a happy groundhog day in my life." Special days. Nehemiah was a Jew, worked for the king. Children of Israel had been in captivity 70 years and allowed to go back home. Some did, some didn't. Nehemiah, cupbearer for the king, was downcast, and the king knew that something was wrong. And ultimately, he sent him back to Jerusalem because the walls had never been rebuilt, the gates had been burned with fire. And here the people that had gone back had done nothing toward rebuilding. Nehemiah went back. First of all, he surveyed the situation to see what needed to be done. And then he began to talk to the people. He began to organize them. And they began to work. And as they began to build the walls, they built not a section here and a section here. They spread out all around the city, and the walls went up evenly all the way to the top. And brethren, with his leadership and with the work, and the Bible says the people had a mind to work. Those walls were built in 52 days. Years had gone by, no one had accomplished anything. 52 days, it was ready. Well, guess what? There's a celebration. Nehemiah 8, one of the great chapters in the scriptures. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the broad place before the water gate. And they said to Ezra the scribe, "Bring the book of the law of Moses, which Jehovah hath commanded to Israel." And Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, men and women, and all that could hear and understand. Do you realize that when preaching is done, understanding must take place, or action cannot occur? And so consequently, when Ezra read, the people who were able to understand were there. And John 6:44 and 45, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up the last day. As it's written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Everyone that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes to me. That's a process that cannot be deviated from. There must be teaching, there must be hearing, there must be learning, and there must be action to follow. And so as Ezra began to read from the book of the law, you realize what that is? The Torah. The first five books of the Old Testament. And Ezra got up and I said, Nehemiah reading, I'm sorry. My memory's as good as ever, remember. But anyway, it was Ezra that was reading. And the people were there, and it says in verse 4, they were attentive, verse 3, they were attentive to the law. They listened with great attention. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. When he opened it, the people stood up. And Ezra blessed Jehovah. How do you bless God? He blesses us. How do we bless him? Well, if you look at the root word, it really means praise. So the people praised their God. And all the people, when they began to read, they answered. And they said, Amen. Amen, with the lifting up of their hands. And they bowed their heads and they worshiped Jehovah with their faces to the ground. Oh, the day needs to come when we'll recognize that when we come to worship, we're on holy ground. We're in the presence of God. And we need to have reverence. Today, this morning, meeting so many people, it's hard to get us settled down. Can you imagine what the first day in heaven is going to be like? It took 1,000 years to get everybody settled down. So the angel can say, well, some of you go over here, some of you go over here. I've often wondered what I'd say. My first experience in heaven. Have you ever thought about it? I have. I guarantee you, when you get my age, you'd think about it. Well, what do you say? Well, I thought, probably I'd say, wow. But I'll tell you this. Probably. The feeling we'll have is not just amazement, but we'll want to kneel down before him and thank him for about 1,000 years for bringing us, sinners as we are, in his everlasting presence. God, Brent said, is good. Amen. I didn't hear amen. That's what the people said when they heard from Jehovah. And I'm telling you what Jehovah said through Ezra. And they read in the book of the law distinctly. Have you ever watched some of the religious programs on television? Do you ever really understand what they're saying if you had your Bible and wanted to check it out? Not all of that way. But if you're going to read from the book of the law of God, you need to read where they understand it. And they gave the sense, and they understood the reading. And Ezra said, this is the holy day unto Jehovah your God. Don't mourn, don't weep, for they wept when they heard the words of the law. And then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto him for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our God and our Lord. Neither be ye grieved, for the joy of Jehovah is your strength. They wept when they heard the law read. Do you know why? They had been returned from captivity forever, how long it was. And they didn't have a copy, apparently. Or if they did, no one was reading it. The reason I know that is to continue. Because they found written Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. And they did not know that. They'd never heard that. How would you like to be sitting in an audience and all of a sudden be hit by a fact, a statement of that which you should have done and should have known and didn't know? When the people on the day of Pentecost were cut to the heart, they thought they were putting together an imposter. When they found out they had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, they were cut to the heart. The Word of God cuts. Hebrews 4:12, the word of the Lord is sharp and piercing even to the piercing of the soul and the spirit and dividing soul and marrow. You see, joints and marrow, God's word penetrates and is meaningful. But he said, you need to go and proclaim this into all the cities and say, go forth. And then verse 17, all of the assembly of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and they dwelt in them. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had the children of Israel not done so. And now there's great gladness. Listen, great days are great. Wonderful things happen when we have special days. But that day, to that people, there was an awakening and awareness, and they realized we must continue faithful to God. The book of Nehemiah continues. It's a thrilling book, but I just wanted you to know that it's proper to have wonderful days like this. I want to thank the ladies, particularly the ladies. I'm sure a lot of men had something to do with it, but put together that history. When you get a chance to read it, you'll realize how complete and how well written and how easy it is to read. I want to thank particularly Charles and Dorothy Mundy for keeping all those records that would have been lost otherwise. It's my understanding that Dorothy has a copy of the program that was used on the day that this building was opened 50 years ago. So thankful to them for keeping those records and for us being able to read the great history. You know, there is a tombstone that marks the end of progress. There is a milestone that tells you you've made progress. And there's a stepping stone that shows you can keep making progress. And I believe today is a milestone. But I think it's a stepping stone too. This church is not through. This church is going on. This church is going to move forward under the great banner of our Lord and Savior. And it will not turn back. It will not give up. It will not give in. It will preach the word and reach people. My time here was a wonderful time. Mary and I are a part of every experience we've ever had. And those experiences we had here are part of what we are today. I look over all of my years of ministry, and I realize how indebted I am to people. And part of those people are you. This day, this time, is really special for us. My wife and I have been married 66 years. We were only three when we married, but we are thankful every day for each other. It's hard for me to come in here and see men much younger than me walking on canes, because my God has given my wife and me health, a relatively good mind, ability to go, and God keeps opening doors. When I retired, I didn't know what we were going to do. Because of Bob's situation with our little granddaughter, we didn't make any particular plans. But when that was resolved, I started getting calls. And I began going through those open doors and preaching. When I left here, I had done 103 funerals and 102 weddings. Since that time, I've done 50 at least more funerals. A fewer weddings. But the thing is, we have not stopped. And God keeps opening doors. I was talking to someone recently who is kin to one of our men at Franklin, a cousin, I think, or a brother, I'm not sure. And I said, oh, I baptized Whitney the other day. She said, yeah, I see it on the website. Whitney is a young lady who married one of our young men, was not a Christian, but with patience and time, I was able to reach her. But you see, God allows me open doors and gives me the energy to go through them. And I'm thankful. And I'm thankful to you for being a part of our lives. Isn't it great being a Christian? Is it? Come on. Yeah, okay. Don't you wish everybody was? Well, let's go tell them.